السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين. صدق الله العظيم. We continue with where we left off yesterday. We are discussing this verse of the Quran Sharif in Surah Yasin, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala states that when the believers tell to the disbelievers that spend out of that, or when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses and says that spend out of that or those bounties which Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with, then they say or they reply that when the disbelievers they tell to the believers, what do they say? They say that why should we spend on those people whom if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had desired or decided, then He would have spent on them Himself. Why must we provide them risk and sustenance? Risk and sustenance is what Allah ta'ala should be providing. So why ask us to spend out of what we have? So I explained to you very briefly yesterday that Allah ta'ala's system is such that He has made some people rich, some people poor, some people healthy, some people sick. There are different states and different stages in every person's life. And these things also change during a person's life. Today a person is poor, tomorrow he becomes rich. Today a person is rich, tomorrow he becomes poor. As I've mentioned many times, that even up till today, you will find in the streets of Delhi the great, great, great grandchildren of the Mughal rulers begging on the streets. Those who were Mughal rulers, there was pomp, there was show, there was enjoyment, and there was all kinds of pleasures that were being enjoyed in those palaces and in those forts. But today those grandchildren are begging on the streets. Everything is gone. If you go into those forts, go to Red Fort, go to Agra, go all these places, there's nothing that you will find there except it has become a tourist attraction and there'll be hoo-ha and that is the end of the story. So we must take lessons from all these things that are around us. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala turns amongst the people. Good days, bad days, happy days, sad days, wealthy days, poor days. So we must take lessons, must take ibrat. So these people, they say that, why should we spend on them? If Allah Ta'ala had decided, He would have spent on them. So Allah Ta'ala has got this system so that the rich, they may spend out of that which Allah Ta'ala has given to them, give to the poor, to the needy, to the destitute, to the orphans, for the madrasas, masjids, for umrah, for hajj, all these type of places they spend and they get rewards from Allah Ta'ala and they reach jannat. And the poor, they make sabr, and they also reach Jannat and they reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. How are we going to find avenues for the expression then of love, of affection, of sympathy, of kindness, of generosity, if there were no poor people in the world? How would we have been able to express it? But also at the same time we have to understand that these stupid people, if that is their logic, then there was a time when they had nothing too. There was a time when they too were in need, they were muftaj. If the mother had to say the same thing, then why should I give you milk? If Allah Ta'ala wills, He can give you milk. Will the child have survived? That child who is today arrogant and sarcastic and saying that why should we give to the poor and needy, if Allah Ta'ala had willed, He could have given it directly. If his mother had said the same thing when he was born, that why must I take all the trouble of feeding you? Why must I take the trouble of clothing you? The father says, why must I go and work and bring food and bring clothing? If the father had said that to the child, and the mother had said that to the child, then the child would have been left without food, without drink, without clothing, without shelter. Then would it have survived? So we don't look back and see that somewhere along the line, we were completely muhtaj and in need. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put that love, that affection in the heart of the mother, that no matter how sleepy she is, no matter how tired she is, no matter how much she herself is suffering from arthritis and rheumatism and stomach ache and headache, but she is staying awake at night, feeding that little baby half a dozen times. The father is going, working hard, bringing the food, bringing the clothing, paying for the rent, light, water, providing shelter. So just as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided all these things for you when you were really in need, so now that you have grown up and Allah ta'ala has given you sufficiency in your provisions, so then from that we are asking you to spend. It is not something that you came with from your mother's stomach. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who gave it to you. Use your intelligence, you will come to the conclusion that whatever you have, it is from Allah ta'ala. I have mentioned this many times in my majlises, that if a person has to analyze what he has got, but for the benefit of many listeners who may not have heard it, that if you have to analyze that what I have got, where did it come from, then either the person will say that through my hard work and labor and effort, I achieved whatever I achieved. Agreed, you may have worked very, very hard. But then, where did that intelligence come from? Where did the hands and feet come from? If Allah Ta'ala had kept you paralyzed, would you have been able to go and work very hard? If Allah Ta'ala took that intelligence away, where would you have ended off? Then the asylums would have been filled. Nobody would trust you for even a little job or with little cash. Why? Because there's no brains. You say the person is mad. It reminds me that in Maroli, which is a place in the near Surat, a little distance from there, there is an asylum there too. So one of the alims went there to go and see somebody that was in the asylum. So when he went there, so there was one person who was very, very sad, very silent, not speaking anything. So one of the family members said that this is so and so, and he is in the asylum for some time now. He said, why? He said, he's gone mad. Why is he gone mad? He said, ye ishq mein pagal ho gaya. Ishq mein pagal ho gaya. In the love of some woman, he became pagal. So now his brains are not functioning properly. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he gives intelligence. And he can snatch it away too. So this person, if he says he worked hard, then his intelligence from Allah ta'ala. His hands, liver and lungs and everything from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it is in actual fact a blessing of Allah ta'ala that he has been able to work hard and accumulate whatever he has got. Then the second way of getting it is through inheritance. Now inheritance, who caused him to be born in that particular home so that when his father died he inherited a fortune? He could have been born to some woman that lives in a shack, where she just gets half a loaf of bread for the day. Now when she died, he would have got nothing. Allah Ta'ala caused him to be born in some royal family or to some rich person. Now when the father died or mother died, or the person inherited a fortune. So again, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who blessed him with it. Thirdly, we'll say probably that he received it as a gift. So why didn't that person go and give that gift to somebody else? It is Allah Ta'ala who put the thought into that person's mind that take this gift and go and give it to so and so. So whichever way you look at it, at the end of it you will come to the conclusion that everything is from Allah Ta'ala. So now Allah Ta'ala is saying that very fortune that you have, or that's those bounties which you have, all we are saying is that spend out of those same bounties. We are not saying that you must deprive yourself, don't have anything for yourself. give away everything. In the history of Islam, we find different incidents. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, on the occasion of one battle, he brought everything that he had. He emptied his house and brought it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said, you can take all these things. Asked him, what did you leave behind at home? He said, the name of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was really fana. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala brought half. Some people brought even less than that. So we are not told that we must give away everything and then go around begging. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, from that which I have given to you, then give to the poor, to the needy, to those that are deserving. So they say, if Allah ta'ala willed, he could have given it to them himself. But this was actually their arrogance. And then immediately they used to also question, Mata hazal waqdu in kuntum sadiqeen. This promise that you are always making, the day of judgment will come, qiyamah will take place, the sur will be blown. When will it be? Because all the Nabis of the past kept on telling their nations the same story. But up till today we haven't heard Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam sur. Up till today we haven't seen the day of judgment. In fact, in Europe, America, there are many people who have made others sell their homes and properties and give away all their belongings to the church because they told them on a certain day is going to be doomsday. They made them give away everything. And then the day came and went past and there was no doomsday. So the church became rich and those poor people, they lost everything. So they used to say the same thing, that there are so many predictions about doomsday but it hasn't come. So the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not speak a lie, because they didn't say that on a certain day is going to be doomsday. In fact, it is one of those secrets that nobody knows, that when is Qiyamah going to take place. We know it's going to be on a Jummah day, it's going to be a Friday, and it is stated in some places that it's going to be 10th of Muharram. But exactly which 10th of Muharram, which Friday, nobody knows. So they used to say that when will this day take place? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala replies, مَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So they used to say that if you are truthful, then tell us when will this Qiyamah take place? When will this, the end of the world come? Allah Ta'ala says that they won't have to wait long. It will be just one single blast, just, and it will seize them while they are still disputing amongst themselves. They will be still disputing and arguing and entering into debates and in their arrogance they will be questioning the when. Allah Ta'ala says it's going to be just one mighty blast and that will be the end. So whilst they will be still disputing, it's going to come with one mighty blast. It will seize them. They will not then be able to dispose of their affairs by will also. They won't be able to now make wasiyat that my wealth, I want it to be distributed in this manner. That wasiyat time also they won't have. It will be seized them so suddenly that they will not be able to dispose of their estates or to make any wasiyat with regard to their estate. And they will not be even able to return home. Wherever they will be, even if they are selling in the marketplace, that will be the end of it. If they are in the farm, that will be the end of them. If they are on the aeroplane, or whether they are on the ship, or whether in their home, or in a tent, or in a hut, it is going to seize them with just one mighty blast. Now that is when Qiyamah will take place, when the sur will be blown. But, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. As far as we are concerned, we too could probably say the same thing, that we don't know when Qiyamah will come. But our Qiyamah comes the moment this life leaves our bodies. The moment our soul leaves our body, the moment death comes upon us, our Qiyamah has started. So why wait for that Qiyamah which will take place whenever it will take place? But we are seeing Qiyamah with our own eyes every day. How suddenly people are departing from this world. Suddenly they just leave. They don't have an opportunity and a chance. As Allah Ta'ala states that when the sur will be blown, that is what is going to happen. But haven't we seen with our own eyes, and haven't we shouldered those janazas to the qabristan of people who were under the same impression that still there are many, many years to go in my life. Whenever the talk was given, or whenever we heard that in the night of Barat, the list of names of those that are going to die is given to the angels, then either we said that it is given to the angels, but I know, we won't say it in words, but deep down in our hearts, we took it for granted that that is the list of some other people. I am still fit, I am young, I am healthy, I've got a good home, I've got a good bank balance, I've got everything going for me. How can my name be in that list? Shaitan will not allow us to believe that our name could also be in that list. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person, he will be planting in the garden and yet his name is already in the list of the dead. The person could be marrying and his name is in the list of the dead. So shaitan won't allow us, or nafs won't allow us to accept that our name could also be in that list. So daily we are witnessing with our own eyes the qiyamah taking place in the lives of so many people. And especially if there is an earthquake, or if there is a disaster, there is gale, that there are floods, or bombs that have fallen, and within seconds or within minutes, you find thousands of people disappearing from the surface of the earth, never to rise again and tell their story. So, إِذَا قَامَتْ, when the person's death has come, his qiyamah has begun. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُ, his qiyamah has already begun. So Allah Ta'ala says that to these people that they won't have to wait long. It's going to be a mighty blast, one blast, it will seize everyone. And they will have no chance and no opportunity after that to return to their homes or to make any kind of wasiyat. So why are they disputing this all the time? But as I said, that the lesson that we take from there is that death is the beginning of our qiyamah. So the preparation time is nil. Again, that simple, beautiful reminder that if a person is told, give up sins, give up the evil in your life, prepare for the hereafter, sins are good or bad, then the person will say sins are very bad. Is stealing, committing adultery, fornication, murder, killing, fraud, all these things are good or bad, the person will say very bad. So then should you give it up or not? He said, yes, I must give it up. So when will you give it up? After death or before death? So no, we should give it up before death. So then when will death come? If you are admitting, acknowledging that yes, it should be given up and should be given up before death. So then when will death come? Now nobody knows. The past is already past. The past is already past. And the present as we talk is gone to the past. How long does it take for the present to go to the past? In fact, the word past, as I spoke, is already gone to the past. This breath that I took now is already gone to the past. So the past is past. The present also, a fleeting moment and it's gone to the past. And the future is a mystery. They say the past is history and the future is mystery. The future, we just don't know how much of the future is left. So again, I repeat that there is no harm in making preparations and plans ahead. Allah Ta'ala's system is such that in this world you have to plan ahead. A person wants to go for Umrah or Hajj, or he wants to undertake any trip, then he can't be preparing for his passport and his visas and all on the day of departure. Why? Because he heard one bayan, Maulana said that, no, you mustn't prepare or plan ahead because your life, death could come any time. Then the businesses won't run. Then we won't have any lease agreements. So there's nothing wrong with that. But our yaqeen inside our hearts must be that we don't know. This could be the very last second of our lives. So this is the wazifa that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given, inshallah, once again, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health, and another opportunity, then we will continue. But this is the wazifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody wants wazifas. So this is a wazifa that reads Surah Yasin Sharif, understand Surah Yasin Sharif, and make amal on Surah Yasin Sharif, and then you see the barakat and the blessings that this Surah Yasin Sharif will bring. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the ummah the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.